Okay, this is the third chapter, chapter 3. Yeah, Adhyaropa. Adhyaropa, you know. Now, this is a special cases of Adhyaropa. Now, remember, this style of writing is called Purvapaksha Siddhanta. Purvapaksha, the paksha, the side, or the one standing in front, meaning opposing the thing. These are written by Vedantins themselves to test your understanding of Vedanta. You can also say one leads into the understanding of the truth. Okay? It's used both ways. One by what you call Chandra Shaka Nyaya, where you point out something known, from there you go until you understand the truth. That's called Chandra Shaka Nyaya, pointing out the moon using the tree. The tree, the trunk, the branch, etc., etc., etc. The other is Purvapaksha Siddhanta. This happens specially when you take different schools of thought, Charvakas, Buddhism, Sankhya, Yoga, Mimamsa, etc., which says something different from what Vedanta says. Like we saw four Charvakas views. Those views are easier to dismiss. Any doubts on that? I am the body, I am the sense organs, I am the prana, I am the mind. This much is Charvaka views. Easy to dismiss because each is a succeeding step. Okay? That I am not all this is very easy to dismiss. Okay? Because there is no great philosophy behind it. There is no great philosophy backing it up. Except khao piyo maja karo, don't bother about all this. That's all that is saying. Okay? This book, in the Western thing, it comes to sophistry. Okay, the sophists in Greek philosophy were the relatives of Charvakas in India. Okay. Then came the Kshanika Vijnanavada. I'll just do a small dismissal of each of them just to recap the whole thing. Kshanika Vijnanavadins are basically subjectivists. They think everything is inside, not outside. This is a fundamental point because this influences a lot of other thoughts like Taoism and all also. The idea is that there is no, all the world that you call as world is what? Only perception. When you are describing something, it is only a perception that you are describing. It is only a knowledge that you are describing. Therefore, for them, this flow of consciousness, what we in Vedanta will call thoughts, is called the reality. There is no permanent I. The flow of thoughts create an illusion of permanence. Exactly like if I take a sparkler in Diwali, keep rotating it, you will get an illusion of a circle, whereas actually there is only a point. Similarly, the flow of thoughts create an illusion of a permanent I. There is no permanent I. Therefore, this flow is a reality. This is one school of Buddhism. The other school of Buddhism talks about what is there between the flow anyway. Between one and the second, what is there is nothing. Therefore, shunya, nothingness, is a reality. Because if this flow is creating an illusion, between one thought and another thought, there is nothing. So that nothingness is a reality. That's why they call it shunyavada, the great void, etc. emptiness. All these terms are used. Okay, this is the two schools of Buddhism. Vedanta has a simple answer. Do you remember, do you have Pratyabhijna, it is called? What is Pratyabhijna? Okay. This book that I have with me today was the same book I had yesterday, the same book I had last class. Therefore, this recollection that what is there is the same thing here is called Pratyabhijna. More so with respect to the eye. What did you all have for breakfast today? Anyone give me, tell me?
Poha.
Poha. How does he remember he had poha? Because the thought now did not exist when he had the poha. Correct? The thought that is there now as I, the I thought here, remember I thought is a flow of thoughts. Therefore, the I thought here that is present now did not exist when he was eating the poha. The I thought that was there when he was eating the poha is not there now. Correct? Are you getting that? Because it's a series of I thought, remember? Series of thought it is. Alaya Vijnanam, it is called flow of consciousness. The flow.
In this flow of consciousness, they don't recognize the I. That's the problem.
I is an illusion. No? Because of this flow, you are thinking there is a permanent I. But the I thought is there. But I thought keeps also changing. That also keeps on changing.
So for them, the I is the momentary thought.
Momentary thought. Now you know where living in the moment and all has come from. Problem is, now look at it. The I that is saying I ate the poha was not there when the poha was eaten. The I that was there when the poha was eaten is not there now. Then how does this thought know the poha? And I ate the poha. How does it know?
At the time you are aware that I am eating.
That is Vedanta. We are talking of Kshanika Vijnanavada, Buddhism.
There is no one to connect the two thoughts.
There is nothing to connect the two thoughts. Because moment. Born is gone.
Sir, whatever you focus on, you remember.
How?
You asked him what you ate.
If there is no I, how will you remember? The experience was momentary. The I, we are now talking Vedanta, we are talking Buddhism. Switch your thinking. Both of you are not doing that. In Buddhism, the experience is momentary, I is also momentary. If both are momentary, where is memory? You'll be blank. But that is contrary to your experience. You remember. That means there has to be a constant I.
How can they miss this fundamental?
They missed it, no? What can I do if they missed it?
I have a question. But the I, which is the awareness, which is aware of the thought A and thought B, doesn't have any memory, right?
Exactly. Where is the memory imprinted? In the mind stuff.
In the mind.
Because of whom? Because of the I. Because of the Chidabhasa. That's why I did the Chidabhasa in what? Panchadashi. Don't forget the Chidabhasa. I manifested in the mind. Now you know where the Chidabhasa become necessary. In answering things like this.
The problem is
a lot of association
with the mind.
Yes. If you are following either Jainism or Buddhism, I mean, Kshanika Vijnanavada or Shunyavada, you will have a problem of dissociation. You have a problem, just witness it. Look at it. I have a problem of grief. I lost someone near and dear. I'll witness the grief. I will detach myself from that grief. Does the grieving mind recover?
Yes.
How? I have done nothing. It is like saying, I have a cut in my hand. Witness the cut. Will the cut go by itself? Because the body heals on its own. Mind does not heal on its own unless you pay attention. Supposing I leave the cut open, bleeding, uncleaned. Will it heal by itself? Chances of infection are much higher, no? Correct or not? Yes, we say body heals by itself, provided it doesn't get infected. So I have to take care that no infection comes in. That much care I still have to give. So this is what happens. I have that grief, witness. No samskara will be formed, just witness. What will happen? I am free, but my mind has issues. Your mind will have 101 issues and you are dissociating yourself with the mind. Dissociation is a psychological issue. It is not any great realization. Dissociation is a psychological problem. Understand this. Or, I am only witnessing all the time. There is no emotional response in me at all. Hey, she's your wife. Do you love her? Witness the love. What type of love is that? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Dissociation is not meditative. Thought is not a problem. You resolve that thought in whatever way it is necessary. Resolve that grief. And see yourself as independent of that mind. That the mind is dependent on you, you are independent of the mind. This is Vedanta. For that there has to be a permanent eye that has seen the first thought that ate the poha coming and going. The second thought that is there now, connected together by the Chidabhasa I. Then there is no problems. Everything is there. Even if between two thoughts that is shunya, then also same problem will come. You will never experience life. How can you experience life if you are not there? No. That is illusion, this is also illusion. Alright. That's like saying, there is a snake. The snake is illusion. Okay. What is it? A rope? No, there is no rope. Where is my stick gone here? If I am seeing a snake, which is not a rope, what does it mean? Snake is real. Correct or not? And tell me, how can you ever experience aham shunya? Because you are something, no? You are there or you are not there. Elsewhere, one writer has said, to say I am shunya is like saying I don't have a tongue. To say I don't have a tongue, I must have a tongue. To say I am shunya, I should be there. Yes, there was a writer in Buddhism, I am giving you the whole picture of it, called Ashwaghosha. Avaghosha, Ashwaghosha, two, both are the same person, supposed to be the same person. He tried to bring in some reconciliation. And he said, the shunya of the Buddhist is nothing but Brahman of the Advaitin. We don't have any problem with that. Except to say, then use more proper terminology like Brahman rather than shunya. Because if you are using the word shunya, you are thinking of nothingness, emptiness, which is conceptual. No. Nothing is known about shunya, remember? Vuchi, nothing is known. Because everything has to come from nothing. This is a fundamental presumption. Presumption. Assumption.
But how can anything come out?
Exactly.
Of
yeah. That is one of the assumptions they made. That's why all these became speculative. Because you are speculating on the I without data. You need a pramana. The pramana is not there. They dismiss the Veda. Buddhism doesn't accept the Veda. They dismiss it. Once you dismiss the pramana, now what are you left with? Only Ashwagosha said this. Because he was attempting a reconciliation. Modern monks who are either Zen masters or into Taoism, etc. They will also say that Shunya is not really Shunya. It is absence of all this. Like in Chandogya, it is said, before all this, nothing of this was there. Asadeva idamagram asid. All this was not there before. Okay. That is why in the all your Sahasranamas, especially all the Sahasranamas about Devi, Durga, Lalita, Lakshmi, etc., you will find a term Shunyave Namaha to nothingness, meaning because she is the source of all these manifestations. So the Shunya there is presented as potential condition. And then there will also be immediately within the next few sentences or few words, there will be another term called Shunya Sakshine Namaha. One who sees the Shunya, who is aware of the Shunya, because I am aware of Maya, Ajnanam. Therefore, there Shunya is used in terms of Maya. Because Maya is not really there. No? Therefore, the one who went, Namaha. Because without something to connect up, there will be no experience of life, no experience of anything. Therefore, I am nothing cannot be an experience. That's why I have met many Buddhist masters, monks, full time, great monks, great people. When I was much, much younger. Okay? Before all the grey had, all the hair had become grey. Only a few streaks were there in it. I'll go salute them. They'll also salute back. And if they salute back, don't salute again. Don't go down to them again. You know why? He will also keep bowing down. Because he has to be the last one to bow. Yeah, that's his humility. Therefore, if you bow 10 times, he will bow 11 times. So don't do it. If you want to put have a talk or a discussion, don't do it. Bow once and leave it. Let him have the honor of doing bow twice. Okay. And then I always will say, unto the Buddha my prostrations. Because you are Buddha himself. And all of them universally have responded, I am not a Buddha, at the most I am only a Bodhisattva. Including the Dalai Lama himself, okay. Why? Bodhisattva is an evolving Buddha. Not yet reached Buddhahood, but on the way. Because how is he ever going to experience I am Shunya? There is a Shunya meditation. Okay? There is a Shunya meditation. Did I show you that in the third level? I showed you that, right? To be done in the night. Yeah. Plus Jaggi was there also, you have done the Shunya. Yeah. Similar, both are very similar. There is a Shunya meditation. But there you are visualizing all sorts of stuff. Their emptiness is only emptiness of your mind. You are emptying your mind of everything. What we call Nirvikalpa, etc. in yoga is called Shunya there. That's all. There is no difference. Therefore, the whole idea of this either Kshanika Vijnanin being the reality or Shunya being the reality doesn't work. Doesn't work. Because we are dealing with forms of existence, not forms of non-existence. Therefore, the whole world is forms of existence. There should be an existence, absolute, behind the whole thing. Unconditioned existence. That is why the modern monks and Zen masters and all call it non-conceptual reality. I like that term. because your idea of reality is all conceptual. Conceptual means with name and form and thing like that. This is non-conceptual. Therefore, what we are talking about, Nirgunam Brahman, is what they are talking about as non-conceptual reality. It's a better term. It's a better term than Shunya. That's why I got Christopher also to replace that Shunya with non-conceptual. It's a better term. Because otherwise gadabad hota hai. Clear about these two schools? Okay. Then in the Mimamsaka school, okay, Karta Bhokta is taken as the Atma. Okay. Either both Karta Bhokta or only Karta. Uh-huh. Or only Bhokta. Sorry, only Bhokta, not Karta Bhokta. Only Karta, only Bhokta. Karta Bhokta is only the Ahankara. Because unless I take myself as a finite entity, I can neither be the Karta nor the Bhokta. So by Karta Bhokta, you are only talking about the Jiva. You are only talking about the Jiva, the one that goes from birth to death and birth again. You are talking only about the Jiva, the one that goes to other dimensions, enjoys life, comes back here. All that Karta Bhokta is all that we are talking about. But my Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam is objectified by me awareness or not? I am talking now. Is that fact known to me or not known to me? Known to me. You are listening. That fact is known to you. Therefore, you are Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam. Only listening, Bhoktrutvam. Talking, Kartrutvam. Both Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam are objectified by you awareness. Therefore, you are not Karta Bhokta. Karta Bhokta is dependent on you. You are independent of the Karta and Bhokta. Therefore, it cannot be any of the Mimamsaka schools. We accept there is birth, there is afterlife, you go to heaven, hell, etc. All that is fine. Okay. But as I was saying in the other class, in heaven there is very little chance of moksha. Okay. In fact, practically no chance. Why? To gain moksha, you need knowledge, self-knowledge. Self-knowledge has to come from a teacher. In heaven, which teacher will you meet? No teacher who knows the truth will be in heaven. Correct? Only bhoga. But yes, in heaven, your mind can open up to new things. Exactly like how travel can open up your mind to new things. You went on a holiday, you met some very nice person there who showed you a different dimension of life. Happens, no? You met a very worldly wise person, no? Who showed you a different perspective of life. Said, ah, yaar. Your mind opened up to some things, no? Same thing can happen to anyone going to heaven. Let me give you an example. Here the village priest. Okay. From Vatrayapa in Tamil Nadu. Have you even heard of Vatrayapa? Most of you wouldn't have heard. Even most of people from Tamil Nadu would not have heard Vatrayapa. It's a small little village. I know somebody from that village, that's why I'm saying I don't know where it is and how to go there. Okay. But I know a village like that exists. So in this small village, in that small temple, there was a priest. Did a lot of good things in life. Did his pujas well, helped the people, all that he did. So after death, he went to heaven. This guy, who had not seen life beyond his village, first reaction, he is thrilled. Arre, Shastra is speaking the truth, Baba, I have landed up in heaven. Next response, is concerned because the gods have called him Yehi Yehi, and then offers him a glass of Sura, drink. I never touched alcohol in my life. A big problem again. Aray, those are rules for earth. When you have a liver which can get fatty, this is here on heaven where nothing of that sort will happen. Please take it. Tastes nice. Okay, the sura that you get there is different. Single malt and all is no comparison, okay? Champagne single malt is not no comparison only. Wow. Now already his mind is opening up. Then he sees in earth, because you will have a vision of Bhuloka, okay? From there you can have that. My God, I didn't even know that such countries existed on earth. I was only thinking my village, everything will be like my village. Can you see all his mind opening up, opening up, opening up, opening up? Then he decides, next lifetime I should be in USA. If Prarabdha permits, if my karma permits, I would be there. But he cannot gain new karma there. His freedom of choice is limited to the bhogas he can have. He has freedom of choice, which is an illusion actually. You want to go for music, you want to go for dance, you want to go and, or you want to sit down and drink sura. What is there? Itna choice hai, usse jyada choice nahi hai. Yeah. Or you want to peep down and see what is happening on earth. Utna choice hai. Interaction is very limited allowed, not more than that. Some messages, etc. you can give. Very limited. This is heaven, okay. But this guy's mind opened up a bit. Let me give you the case of another guy. Rough and tough soldier. Okay? On the rough and tough character. Ye culture vulture sab mereko pata nahi hai. Music, literature, time waste hai. You're reading the poetry, you're sitting down reading. May or 100 push-ups karega. Okay? That type of a soldier, not the refined soldier, that rough and tough. Okay? And when you are off duty, when you are on leave, kya karne ka yaar? Khao, piyo, maja karo, peelo. Why? Arre, next week I am going back for training, yaar. Abhi maja karo. This is the guy. Terrorist operation. He killed 10 of the characters before he was shot down himself. Veera Swarga awaits him. He also goes to heaven. This guy also goes to heaven now. And there he sees, oh my God, that dance looks so beautiful. All I have seen was Chikni Chameli in that beer bar. That's all the dance I have seen. All the songs I knew were only rugby songs. Yeah? You all know what rugby songs are, no? I don't have to explain all that thing. You all should know. If you don't know, okay, ask me afterwards. Yeah. That's not subject matter for class, okay? That's all the songs I knew. But such music, yeah. I don't understand it, but now look at it. His mind is also opening up differently. Then he and the priest has an interaction. Who converts whom is anybody's choice. Anybody's guess. Okay. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? This much of growth is possible in all these dimensions. Growth is possible. That in that sense. Because that is depend on your human mind. Does not depend on karma. So the soldier may decide, next lifetime I'll be born in a family where there is culture, music, etc. But his old samskaras also will be there, rough and tough. Okay, his hands can make better speeches than his tongue. If both harmonize, great, acha ho jayega. If both don't harmonize, problem ho jayega. Are you trying to see what I am saying? But in all this growth, where is he going to meet someone in heaven who will say, bait, tereko atma ka bare mein sikha tha. Because no wise person is there in heaven. Indra, Varuna, Agni, all of them are wise people. Because they are lucky, as you saw in Keno Upanishad, to meet Umam, Haimavatim, yaad hai na Keno Upanishad? The story at the end of the game, that Yaksha and all that thing, yeah. They have got it. because they are karma devas, they have freedom of choice. All the angels, etc., they have freedom of choice. Because they are supposed to do their responsible positions. You and I have gone only for what? Like going to USA on a tourist visa. Yes, you can interact. If I go, I'll interact with the philosophers there, etc. My mind, something can open up into other lines of thinking. That can happen to all of us. But can you work there on a tourist visa? Can you attend a university on a tourist visa? You know, if you come to India, an American comes to India and he asks a local professor, "Sir, I heard you are an expert in Shaivism. Can I come and attend your lecture?" The professor will say, "Yeah, come. I'm taking a lecture next week here. Come and sit down for it. No charges." Which professor is going to charge if somebody wants to? In India, it's not there. In America, university? No way. You're not allowed. Okay. Even on payment, you won't be allowed. So similarly, in heaven, there's only so much of learning you can have. Okay. But that much of learning can be there. I've seen, also come to know of people who evolved with their experience there. But I also know that when you come back here, nobody remembers the experience there. All this is part of kartrutvam bhoktrutvam, objectified by you awareness. Karta bhokta is objectified by awareness. Therefore, I am not a karta bhokta. Kartrutvam bhoktrutvam is an adhyaropa. It's a false entity. It's a false entity that is superimposed on the Atma. Superimposed on the Atma. Okay? Clear up to now? All these various views. That's what now we are trying to negate all the superimposition. That negation. Because these are some of the notions that exist about the self. Other religious notions are there which you don't even have to bother about. Which are like, for example, in Jainism. They have a great model in terms of ethics. Their model is very good. The ethical model is very good. But the view of the self, you know, in Jainism, what is the view of the self? They exist, they accept an Atma other than the body. They accept that much. But the Atma will be the size of the body. We say it's limitless. They'll say size of the body. And all your negative karma is impinged on the Atma. Therefore, it becomes heavy, weighted down to an earthly existence. Now, how do you get rid of this karma? Through tapas. Fasting, etc. So the karmas are negated, the Atma becomes lighter and rises upwards. Don't ask me where upwards. Therefore, their idea of moksha in Jainism is only urdhva gamanam, going up where they have not specified. The lightness of the Atma, when it is completely devoid of all karma, that is called moksha. In one lifetime, you cannot do enough tapas to negate the karma of a million lifetimes. Correct or not? Million lifetimes of karma is standing in my account. Idhar kitna kya karega? Let us say, every month 1 week fasting. Itna karega na? Aur kitna karega? Limited, no? 1 million lives of karma is...
It's action bound.
Yeah, action bound. So limited. Or maximum in Jainism, the greatest tapas, in 2 days, alternate day, you can have one meal. That's all. Very difficult tapas to do. Alternate day, one meal. Difficult, very difficult. How long will you do it? For 1 year. Believe me, your health will be messed up in that. Huh? I have known ladies who have done this and not lost weight. I knew this lady, I saw her doing it in this place called Dhanu, but I won't mention who it was. So one day she's strict, fasting only water, hot, warm water she'll take, that's it. The next day from morning onwards, she starts cooking. It's an elaborate feast she cooks up. She serves the family first. After that, she sits down. 1 o'clock, she'll sit down. And demolishes, literally demolishes all that food. Okay. And then she will get her daughter-in-law to get some toilet paper and wipe her hands, etc. And a pillow. So she'll lie down there itself, from the seat she'll lie down, catch a nap, get up back on the seat, have a cup of tea and then get up. Because once you get up from the seat, you can't eat. So chai pine ka na mere ko. And after eating, having eaten so much, you need a nap. Minimum 4,000, 5,000 calories in that one meal. It's like a wedding feast. So naturally, she won't lose weight. Will she lose weight? 2,000 calories per day is enough, no? Even if it is not done like that, proper tapas is done. 1 year you did it, 2 years you did it, 5 years you did it. Itna hi karega na? What about millions of lifetimes of karma that is there in your account? Karma, moksha by karma exhaustion is not feasible, is not logical. Don't even talk to me about religion that say eternal heaven and eternal hell. Sorry. Heaven and hell exist, I'll accept. Eternity in heaven and hell on the basis of my one lifetime karma? Finite karma, finite results. My karma, however good and noble it has been finite. Therefore, if I go there, I go there for a finite time. Eternal heaven is not possible. Okay, what do you do in eternal heaven? I am enjoying this particular being, music. Enjoying. Remember, it has to last for eternity. That means, first note shouldn't be over. Because if the first note is over, second note, third note, fourth note, song will be over. Correct or not? So the first note, it should remain permanently. Ah, it should remain permanently. Ah, that's torture for me. Come on, I'll run away from there. I don't want that eternity. Ah, okay. And in the 23rd, I put an inflection. Note change. Okay. I'm not talking about music, I'm talking about eternal this thing. That's all, okay. How else do you have eternity? That note should last permanent. How will eternity be there? Because otherwise there's progression. If there's progression, finitude comes in. Same, anything is there. Oh no, I enjoy having dinner with God. Dinner starts with soup. First spoon of soup. That should be eternally like that only, first spoon. It should not get over, because second spoon, third spoon, thing is over. Even if it takes 100 years to get over, still we are over, na? Eternity kidhar se aayega? Imagine drinking soup for 100 years. Even a soup lover won't want it, no? He loves soup for 100 years. He won't want it. I am not dismissing a religion, okay? I am just saying, these type of thing as moksha is not tenable. That's all I am saying. They have misunderstood what is said there. They have misunderstood. Similarly, in the West, the highest thought anyway in West, I am just dismissing the highest, is existentialism. Okay? For existentialists, reality is what you experience. What can be confirmed by your 5 senses. This is reality. Therefore, there are certain existential issues which has no solution. Isolation and loneliness. purposelessness. These are, don't have solutions. I'm just taking two major ones, okay? There are six of them, but two major ones. Why? Because as a human being, you are isolated, lonely. Even if you have a family around you, there are plenty of times when you feel lonely, isn't it? Especially if you have a very nice, loving family and they don't understand you, that's enough for you to feel lonely right in the midst of the family. Or they and you cannot see eye to eye on certain major issues. You feel isolated and lonely right there. Purposelessness. My life is purposeless. Why? I'm doing all these things. Kya fayda ho gaya? Are, how can you say that? You brought this wisdom to so many slum kids. I know, I taught some kids. One of them became an engineer, one of them became a smuggler. Law of compensation it is called. Kya fayda ho gaya yaar, smuggler ban gaya. I can laugh, but a serious social worker is very difficult to laugh. I make this whole freshwater body there, Saraya, and the idiot villagers fought over it and broke it. And all the water, freshwater flowed on, now it's all salt water. Hota hai na? Purposeless. Are, you got a Bharat Ratna award. Bharat Ratna. Kaun tha champion? You remember him? Do you all remember any of the Bharat Ratnas, by the way? Do you all remember anyone? Who?
Sachin Tendulkar is there, Abdul
APJ. Ah, Dothin.
And that singer from Bhimsen Joshi is there.
You also got a Bharat Ratna?
Mangeshkar is there.
Ah, Bharat Ratna is
there? Yes.
Oh my God. इतना भारत रत्न है फिर मेरे को क्या मानता है वो अवार्ड नहीं मानते सब चैंपियन लोग को देख के मेरे को नहीं मानता है हाउ लॉन्ग विल यू रिमेंबर योर जनरेशन आर जनरेशन विल रिमेंबर आर चिल्ड्रन रिमेंबर गॉन एग्जैक्टली व्हाट इज द पर्पस यार ठीक है भारत रत्न मिला बट फाइनली नाउ व्हाट अब तो बिल्कुल बूढ़ा हूँ गोली खाकर जीता हूँ यार आई एम वेटिंग फॉर डेथ टू टेक मी बिकॉज देयर इज नो पर्पस लेफ्ट इन माई लाइफ Yeah.
Makes you feel that you're useless to school.
Exactly.
You've done what you had to do.
Over. You got awarded for it. Now it's time to be for you to be forgotten. Literally.
You feel isolated.
Yeah. You're given a lifetime performance award. This happens in lifetime performance award, but now your life is over. Don't ask for any more roles. Okay.
Rishi Kapoor has said, no, why you're giving me again and again? Baba, I have still so much potential.
Exactly. As the people who go out the lifetime performance award, they don't want it.
They don't want it.
An Oscar is okay, but not a lifetime. Hey, ultimately, human life, you feel a purposelessness in it. And when you're looking at it from the relative sense, I always quote that poem, remember? I am Osman Dias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. And I looked around and all that I saw was sand and sand and sand. Who was Osman Dias? God knows.
But Swamiji, Mundaka Upanishad deals with this.
Exactly. This is existentialism. And in existentialism, these problems don't have a solution. They only can be managed. Yeah. That I am managing anyway. I have great purpose every evening. Vedanta says no, the ultimate purpose is to recognize that you don't need any purpose left. To recognize you are the pure awareness which is free from all these things. A finite guy requires all this purpose, this, that, etc. Once you discover you are that infinite being, there is no need for anything. There is no isolation, there is no loneliness, you are one with the whole universe. because the existential sum is only at their experiential level, the level of what we would call functional reality, vyavaharikam. To be independent of that is what we call as paramarthikam, the absolute reality of what I am. The absolute reality of what I am. So these are some of the sum. If later on you want, you can do some Sarvadarshana Sangraha or something like that, which has some 15 different schools of thought. Okay, and their dismissal, etc. Not necessary. Okay, not necessary. If you dismiss this much, you understand enough in terms of arguments against Vedanta, and this. Another argument against Vedanta can come from the field of science. What is this thing called consciousness? There is nothing called consciousness. Consciousness manifests itself in matter, in the brain. When the matter has evolved to become a brain, consciousness manifests itself. Where is consciousness? It's only a brain function. There is no Atma. Brain dies, you are dead, gone, finished. Powerful argument. Question is simple. What makes that matter evolve into a brain? Number one. And if brain can manifest consciousness, in that matter, consciousness should already be there. Because what is manifest is only a potential, nothing else. Then now our debate has to shift whether matter is solidified consciousness or subtle matter is consciousness. Correct? Because consciousness is there, you can't deny it there, right? You and I are conscious beings. And if we evolve from matter, then there should be a similarity between all human beings. But our minds are different. No, mind is nothing but organization, organizing, you know, information organizing system of the brain. Then all of us should organize information in the same manner, which we don't. There's nothing in the brain to show that we have evolved differently. All our brains are similar. But software is different. Hardware is same. Which is true, no? It's two similar phones, the apps you load on it are different, means different. That means there is something else beside the brain. Then the whole question of mind, consciousness, everything comes into the picture. Read some of Deepak Chopra's books. They are good to answer these, some of these. Okay. All these thoughts exist as far as the eye is concerned. In society, you cannot, there are two things that a society cannot avoid. We will see that more in the camp. Saddarshanam becomes in harmony with this. There are two things no society can avoid. Wonder about themselves, wonder about the world. No society can not have these two thoughts. Why, haven't you heard the slum kids in the train singing, Ye duniya banane wale kya duniya banaya? I hear all this in the trains, okay? Aata na, gaake, crack, 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 karke, they play that thing. In the train, they will sing. I pay attention to all these things, okay? Very much attention. Even if I'm reading, I'll take a break and say, ah, kya bolta hai? This is called popular thing, you know? What the common man is thinking, and common man is a big thinker in these things. Because you can't help wondering in the world. If you do it in a structured manner, it is called theoretical physics. And they are very smart people. You also wonder at the world, I also wonder at the world, the theoretical physicist also wonders at the world. But the theoretical physicist is paid for it. Because he does the wondering in a very structured manner. That is one part you can't help wondering about. Another part you can't help wondering about is me, I. Me, kon, who? You can't help wondering about it. No society can afford not to think about these two factors, because this make up the world, I and the world, that's all that is there. Or kuch common factor hai kya nahi, upar wala hai kya nahi. So most philosophies will deal with these three. will be there. Can't avoid thinking about it. Now the problem is, when a human being is thinking about it, it becomes speculative, because about the world some data in terms of experience is available. About I, other than your mind and body, there is no data available. Mind and body data is there. Beyond that, no data is available. Like speculative philosophies will create ideas of God, common source, goddamn particle, or a pantheon, because you see in the world many things are, or one God as counter to that. One God also there is no proof, pantheon also there is no worldly proof. There is no establishing logic. Proving logic is not there, supporting logic is there. Because the pramana for that is missed out. Same way with I, all my speculations will be with body and mind. Up to that level will be fine. Therefore psychology, existentialism, all this will come. Charvaka, Sankhya, all this are speculative, because without the pramana, without the means of knowing, it is being speculated. So these will be the doubts that as a humanity as a whole will have when I am trying to study Vedanta. Humanity as a whole I am talking about now. Okay? No one person thinks of everything. But some of these thoughts are examined by Vedantins so that your understanding of Vedanta becomes clearer. Maximum some 15-20 are examined. Why? You examine these, na? There is nothing other than these anyway. you examine it and see that it is not true, then you know that any school of thought that you meet, some new one that is created, also will not be true. All of us are studying Advaita Vedanta now. Correct? Right? Which says you and God are one. What if a later philosopher says something better? What will you do then? Good one. If he says something different from Vedanta, he will have to say, I am less than the infinite, which I am not interested in. He cannot say, I am more than the infinite, because more than infinite doesn't exist. Therefore, I am very happy with Advaita Vedanta. Can you see this? The modern Purvapaksha can come up. Now, a simple Purvapaksha comes from, this comes from what we call in technical philosophy as evolution of thought. That's why in the West and in the East also, many writers, academic philosophers have written what is known as history of philosophy, where they have showed how thought has evolved through various processes, one of them being you project a stand, you have a counter stand, and you have a synthesis of the two. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Someone says this, someone else then comes says opposite. Then the third one will be someone who tries to harmonize these two. Then that will become the thesis for the next antithesis, synthesis. Like this evolution of, that's one way, one pattern that they will see, that can be seen in many philosophies. Okay? And other ways, an evolution of thought. This is based on a Western model, a Western historian model, where they say that we are better today than what we were yesterday. I'm sure our ancestors looking at what we have done in the world will not agree. Mess kar diya world. Pollution, garbage dumps,
collision. Is this the world that you were supposed to be? This is not the world we handed over to you, they will say. Okay. But this is a Western model of evolution of thought. The Eastern systems are cyclic in nature. Eastern systems are cyclic because everything in nature is cyclic. Western models are linear models. Since I'm dealing with evolution of thought, let me tell you this. Okay? And they will show how, then up to existentialism, they will show an evolution of thought. But I would still prefer Socrates to existentialism. Okay, the guy was knew what he was talking about better. But they will show an evolution. Similarly, in psychology also, because the maximum that you will have in applied philosophy will be psychology. Applied to your mind, etc. The question of consciousness, etc. is rarely discussed with them. Okay. Similarly, they will try to show that in Indian philosophy. If you leave Vedanta out of the picture, you can show it. If you leave Vedanta out of the picture, some sort of things you can show. Starting with Charvakas, Nyaya Visheshika, Sankhya, thoda you can show. A little bit of it. But you will never come to history of philosophy and then bring in the Veda into it. Why? Advaita Vedanta was talked before all these things came into existence. That's not a product of human evolution. That means the highest was given first. Then what are you talking of evolution of thought? That's why that stands apart as a pramana. It stands apart as a pramana. Vedanta cannot become part of this history, part of this evolution of thought. It cannot become. Cannot become. The latest is not always the greatest. Leon Spink said that. Muhammad Ali is the greatest, but I am the latest. His time is over and done with. But Vedanta time is never over and done with. Why? In every generation, there are people who want moksha. And there are teachers who will teach. Every generation. Itna to ho jayega. You may like some teaching better, you may not like some teaching, that's okay. But every generation there will be teachers who will know, hopefully, who know. Yeah. And who will understand. Are you getting the big picture now? Why this whole Purvapaksha etc. is done? The big picture of the whole thing. Okay. And finally what? Therefore, Vedanta cannot be a mere product of human thinking. This is being said in the beginning itself. That the whole thing is revealed knowledge. How it is revealed, etc., you have various stories about it. Therefore, you cannot put a history to the Vedas. You can't put it. If you are looking at internal calculation, etc., it goes into lakhs of years. No history, historical perspective will fit into that. Kali Yuga, etc., if you see, there is no historical perspective that will fit in. Other internal evidence, little bit here and there, you can see, it goes back something like 10,000 years BC and things like that. But that time, human beings were not civilized. It doesn't matter. Look at it. To understand Vedanta, do you need a civilization? To understand Aham Brahmasmi, do you need a civilization? You only need human beings living together, someone can communicate. The primitive hunter-gatherer could also understand Vedanta, no? Your finitude will be explained differently. The saber tooth, all that. Your power, your kartrutvam will be in terms of hunting and fruit gathering, not in terms of corporate executive. Roles. You're not the role. Roles are limited, but hai na? They're also father, mother, brother, sister, hunter, gatherer. All those roles were there. Wouldn't our roles sana? Enough. To make a mistake,
and you are that self which is aware of all things. Hey, if the mind is evolved enough, that's all that you need. You don't need a civilization. That's our mythical thinking that only we can understand because we are civilized. Are you getting the thing? That wherever there is human society, Vedanta can be taught. It requires some evolution in terms of thinking, in the terms of understanding of life, not necessarily technology. Technology is civilization, technological advancement. Competency was always there. Today's competency, etc., will be in terms of software, this, that, all that. Media, handling media, this, that, etc. That will be their thing. You have to be competent. Those days, competency was how well you can handle that spear when the saber tooth is charging. How well can you meet that charge? Why? Your family is inside the cave. You are out the mouth of the cave. Can you meet that charge and tackle him? Every time this guy handles it, wow, he's a hero among us. Their lack of competency you paid with your life. Sheer lack of competency, maximum you lose a job.
Someone else
will. If you can pass the blame. Yeah. Therefore, this human issues. Yoga, karma, kausha, all that thing, samatvam, yoga, muchate, all these things, they are right through anywhere in any society. Yeah. Whether you are tribals, stone age, or 30 centuries down the line, when people may be wondering, where is earth? After earth, like, because every life form on earth has evolved to attack the human being. It doesn't have to be after earth, 20th century, right now it is like that. Every life form preys on us, mosquito onwards. We are food and drink for them, Baba. So very simple, Vedanta Sahara talking, Anna Panadi, we are food and drink for the mosquitoes anyway, so what's the problem? Are you getting this hang? What is Vedanta is global. Totally. With this much of negation done, we will see the structure desuperposition is doing from next class onwards.